This podcast is sponsored by University Bookstore. Join the Pack Rewards and save 10% on Husky gear every day, even on game day. Join the Pack today at ubookstore.com. This podcast is brought to you by Adidas. Same dogs, new threads. Head to huskyteamstore.com to check out the new collection.
The Daily, UW's student newspaper, has been around since 1891, and every edition, over 100 years worth of news, opinions, art, sports, science, wellness, etc., has been preserved somewhere. In this podcast, The Daily's editorial staff will explore how our paper has covered important historical, cultural, and social phenomena. Welcome to Into the Archives. November 1999. Courage the Cowardly Dog has just premiered in Cartoon Network. People are freaking out about Y2K. The Daily is talking about boy bands and the World Wide Web. We're running advertisements for Nokia phones. Here's an ad we ran in November of 99.
I don't know. Wait, was this an ad in The Daily?
Yeah, this is an ad in November of 1999.
Okay. Oh my God.
Well, you guys gotta read it. They can't see it.
So it's an ad for hearme.com, and it says, not your daddy's chat room.
Free voice chat with the purchase of nothing. Download in 2 minutes. Start the party in three.
And a photo of how TV shows and movies typically portray, like, high school girl, like, sleepovers, like, their
sexy pillow fight.
Yeah, they're, like, dancing. Yeah, it's clearly this was, like, post-pillow fight.
And then it looks like a sex line.
Yeah.
And you know what's funny? Like,
it's not like it can go on hearme.com now. Because I tried, and, like, none of these websites are live anymore, so we just have to speculate what the fuck this was.
I just want to know what kind of chat rooms existed before the 90s.
Meanwhile, we can't sell ads to, like, dispensaries around here.
Yeah, what?
But the thing that's dominating our coverage this month is the World Trade Organization, or the WTO. This intergovernmental organization is responsible for establishing policies, regulations, and rules of trade. In 1999, the WTO was set to hold their ministerial conference in Seattle, where delegates from around the world would make decisions that would impact not only trade, but human rights, economic growth, and globalization. In Seattle, the conference was sparking outrage and protests, actually the biggest protest Seattle had seen pretty much ever.
We have now learned that during Tuesday morning's protests, Seattle police had planned massive arrests.
And your failure to leave the area will subject you to arrest for failure to leave.
The Daily was pretty excited about the conference. We covered it a lot. This is how our culture beat, a column in the arts section, described the event, which would occur at the end of that month.
Okay, kids, as of next week, the WTO will be in town. For those who don't know, the WTO is a new organization composed of every big shot fat cat in the honky world, in Japan too. They are all meeting to make the world a giant McDonald's, where you are going to make $4.75 an hour and like it. Starting November 30th and lasting until December 2nd, 50,000 protesters, 2,200 foreign journalists, 16 ravers, and one Fidel Castro will be here to front a fantastic show for you. This guy's wild, jeez. If you plan to go downtown next week, and we hope you are, take a camera wherever you go. Even if you dig the world domination WTO plan, make sure you are going downtown to check out what's going to go on. It's going to be capital K crazy. Giant puppets, long dragons, gorilla banner action, and troop of 30 men in Santa Claus costumes are all in the plan of action. Seattle has never seen nothing like it, guaranteed. Man alive, we are a little spooked about the potential cop action, though. Interpol, CIA, FBI, and the nastiest of all the Seattle cops will all be on full-on brutality mode. Every fucking body... Wait, they let that word see print?
Dude, 99 was crazy.
We need to show this to Sierra because she wouldn't let me curse in my arts article. She always censored it.
Okay, I know we're supposed to be reflecting on our coverage at the time, but I was so distracted by the fact that there were about 10 different fonts on the one page.
Yeah. Culture beat, capital K, crazy.
Here's an excerpt of an opinion piece we published about the same time. It's called Walking Out on the WTO, Reasons to Leave Your Classes Behind. The WTO is the neoliberalist's dream. The fact that the WTO is a non-elected body which has power over local electorate is disturbing as well. If a complaint is made about another country's law being unfair, a secret and non-appealable hearing is convened with WTO lawyers in Switzerland. This is what the WTO means when it says it is immune to lobbying. The WTO is also immune to petitions, votes, electorates, and popular referendums. The argument that this makes it more democratic is a thin one. The claim that the WTO has raised standards of living while lowering the cost of living is fictional as well. One needs to look no further than third world factory towns to see the increased standards of living for WTO members. On the home front, things are pretty bleak as well. Environmentalists are almost uniformly convinced that the WTO will be responsible for a massive degradation of the environment. For example, the WTO's push for agreements on patenting new life forms has the potential to destabilize our ecological balance. The rate of deforestation has also increased with global trade. The WTO is an organization composed of the rich and run for the benefit of the rich. Walk out on Tuesday. It may be useless, but it's the only way to express outrage at a fundamentally immoral and destructive organization.
Climbing university structures is emerging as a popular form of political expression.
There were also extensive protests on campus, during which several students were arrested.
A rally around the flagpole, two students arrested in campus protests, and there's a picture of a group marching up Rainier Vista from the fountain to Red Square.
Shortly after noon yesterday, the participants descended on Red Square with giant puppets, bird costumes, banners, horns and drums to perform artistic expressions meant to symbolize the call for liberty and justice for all people of all countries around the world.
Can you describe the photo? So this is in Red Square.
Mm-hmm. So it looks like a line of people, looks like puppets of what look like bald white dudes in suits. and then it looks like it's a big demonstration, Red Square, which... it's good to know that that's always been a thing, because we've seen a lot of those recently. But also, like, this seems like a much more, like, involved one rather than, like, students just stumbling upon it, that they came, like, prepared to protest.
Yeah, like those signs and puppets and shit?
Yeah, they didn't, like, make these morning of, it looks like.
They're pretty huge.
The Daily covered protests off campus, too, which got intense and violent. It was estimated that about 40,000 protesters showed up. Ben Spatz, a photographer for The Daily, captured pictures of Seattleites fleeing huge clouds of tear gas. There are shots of the Seattle Police Department in riot gear and protesters forming a human chain to prevent WTO delegates from entering the conference. Signs read, "The revolution starts here. Stop corporate greed. People before profits." Here's one photo caption. Protesters attempt a sit-in yesterday evening in front of the downtown Old Navy store. The group was driven back by concussion grenades and tear gas moments before the curfew went into effect at 7 p.m. Here's an excerpt from that article by Nevdon Jamgochian, published December 1st. Quote, "Those who were saying they were going to shut the WTO down were, in fact, successful today," Seattle Police Chief Norm Stamper said. "The result left protesters feeling euphoric." Quote, "We did it. We pulled it off. We have people who work jobs standing up to riot cops and pepper gas," said David Peterson, a young punk rocker from Eugene, Oregon. I'm not sure if we would use that identifier nowadays, a young punk rocker from Eugene, Oregon. The Daily's analysis was that the protests were successful and impressive.
Not your parents' protest. Well-planned, well-organized protest sets new standard.
Though, I mean, like, their parents were probably part of the civil rights movement, which some of the protests worked out okay, I feel like.
Yeah, that is kind of funny that you mentioned the title. Mm-hmm.
Hating on boomers was a thing back then, too.
Mm-hmm.
Makes sense.
Are you ready to lead the development of innovative solutions for connected devices or robotics? The UDA Master of Science and Technology Innovation, MSTI, offered by the Global Innovation Exchange, teaches the skills needed to go from concept to development and onto market. GIX is a new model of experiential education founded by the UW, Tsinghua University, and Microsoft. Work alongside industry sponsors to get hands-on experience. Courses are focused in the areas of design thinking, technology development, and entrepreneurship. Learn more at our next info session on October 3rd at 6 p.m. at the UW Allen Library Auditorium and explore our cutting-edge space on December 5th at 5:20 p.m. at the Global Innovation Exchange in Bellevue. Learn more and sign up at gixnetwork.org. GIX, design, build, launch.
Our coverage of the protests was thorough and fiery. Other local publications were making different editorial decisions, though.
I want to see, this is an article that the editorial staff put out, and we're kind of bashing Como News. So essentially, I'll give you context. Como News decided to, here we go, quote, "We will carefully evaluate each protest," their website says, "but work to spend more time on the issues than the protest itself. It's easy to cover screaming people, but we don't think any debate should be decided by people with the loudest voice. If you see us doing a story on a disruption, but we don't name the group or the cause, you'll know why." So Como was saying, we're going to go out there and film these protesters, but we're just going to show you the violence. We're not going to tell you what their opinions are, or what their stance is, or what group they're with.
Well, it's good to know Como was trash even back then.
When does a protest become news? According to Como, only if that protest is legal and registered with the Seattle City Council.
Which is, like, very much against, like, the spirit of, like, how this country was formed, right? As, like, political protests. Yeah. If you legally register your protest with the cops, then you support cops. I don't know what else to say. This is just, like, I don't know if it's necessarily true. But, like, any protest that's really, like, the people who are protesting are actually aiming to do something, they're not going to check with cops if it's okay first. Because, like, if you're only doing something if, you know, like, law, like a bureaucratic law enforcement agency says that it's okay, then I don't know if that's necessarily, like, revolutionary at all.
Mm-hmm.
And activism is inherently, or should be, revolutionary, right?
I can see the logic in not covering every protest and every group or necessarily, but to show it and not give the context feels like the most irresponsible option or whatever, where if you feel like it's not responsible to show the disruption at every turn and not focus on the substance, I think there's a case there. But to only show the violence and then, or the disruption, and not then show, like, why those people are so impassioned, it just, like, I don't know what you're going for.
Mm-hmm. And it does a disservice to your audience, because now you're just amalgamating this group together into this one amorphous blob. Mm-hmm. And it does a disservice to, like, the actual protesters themselves, because you're not actually reflecting what it is that they're saying. You're just making those you're making those judgment calls just on your own.
In response to Como's shoddy coverage of the event, WTO protesters began to cover the scene themselves using pirate radio stations.
Have you guys ever heard of pirate radio?
I have not.
I have a vague recollection.
but essentially, it's like illegally pirating an airwave, and like it's very localized radio, so only people with a direct like line of sight to your antenna can hear it. And so this headline is, "Pirate broadcasters converge on Seattle airwaves. Micro radio workshops broadcast to accompany protests of WTO's week-long stint." Also known as pirate broadcasters, they have set up their stations to broadcast news and views that they feel are not represented by mainstream media. Many of them consider Como TV's statement that they will not report on protests not registered by the police as tantamount to a media blackout. "It is not surprising that this is their policy. It is shocking, though, to have them admit it," said DJ Real Time of Free Seattle Radio, the voice of Occupied Seattle. A combined effort of 7 micro stations is organizing workshops to demonstrate how to set up pirate stations as well as the legal issues involved. I just thought that was interesting.
That's really metal.
It is pretty metal. That seems like very, like, Seattle.
It's like, yeah.
It's interesting that they're, like, criticizing Como's journalism, and instead of being like, oh, wow, journalists are the enemy of the people. They're like, hey, we can do it better. Let's be journalists instead.
Yeah. Which is, honestly, yeah, that's probably why I became a writer for The Daily in the first place.
Meanwhile, The Daily was publishing a field guide for how to engage in the protests. We published a map of the city detailing what streets would be blocked off, along with arguments for and against the protests. An edgier part of our guide included online protest sites.
And so it's a list. So there's like protest.net, there's E the People.
That's good.
Electronic Activist. And then this one is Bill Gates Hit by Cream Pie, the movie. www.bitstorm.org/gates. Says it doesn't get any better than this. On February 4th, 1998, while on business in Brussels, Bill Gates was rudely assaulted by a pie-wielding maniac. The pie guy got away, but we got it all on video, and it's available for download here.
Yeah.
Because remember when, like, that thing was happening on Twitter where people were milkshaking
yes.
politicians?
Yeah. Yeah, no, I remember, I don't remember when Bill Gates was hit by the cream pie because it was, like, in 1998 and I was, like, 0 years old. But yeah, it totally is, like, it's coming back because it's a really, like, a harmless way to, like, protest against someone, but it's also pretty humiliating.
Super humiliating.
So it's, like, but you're not hurting them. So it's, like, almost, like,
Perfect.
It's, like, symbolic activism almost, but you are physically, like, doing something. But you're also doing something that's, like, not violent. It's not going to hurt anyone.
Well, it's sending
a message.
But before you move on from that page, I noticed it was ran next to an article that begins with the words, an article about pooping in the dorms.
Yes, it was.
So,
wow.
You know, not the best page design in terms of serious topics next to.
That's hilarious.
Less so.
Yep. While discussing neoliberalism, globalization, and violent protests, The Daily was also covering the trauma of pooping in dormitories, which I think is a good snapshot of our publication. Thanks for listening to episode one of Into the Archives, a podcast featuring the writing, photography, and perspectives of student journalists at the UW. The Daily has been producing quality student journalism since 1891. Special thanks to Shabazz Ahmed Khan, Josh Kirschenbaum, Haley Robinson, Devin McBride, and Thelonious Gores.